Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you all are here or are listening in at a later date. As we usually begin, let's just all stop what we're doing and come to a comfortable position, turning our awareness within to that light and that love, that space within that we all share. And we don't have to force trying to find it. We just have to be willing. Willing to go there. And we can give that willingness to spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And if we need a word or a thought or even just a still and tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. So we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. Welcome again. We are in the Sparkle Edition in Chapter 8. It's page 186. It's the second full paragraph. The sentence begins, "There is no question but one you should ever ask yourself." For those of you who have the original edition, it is chapter 8, paragraph number 49. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 8. Let me just give a section. I think it's part 6. Chapter 8, part 6, paragraph number 8. Page 150 if you have the Foundation for Education. And if anybody has, I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. If you have some background noise, if you wouldn't mind just muting yourself, you can do so by pressing star 6, and you can unmute yourself again if you'd like to share by pressing star 6 to unmute as well. So we're going to pick up where we left off. And as always, I'm just going to take it a paragraph or two at a time, and I'll pause. And as we are all teachers and all learners, if anybody has any reflections or insights, comments, questions, by all means, please do share. So the section that we're in, just to quickly refresh, is the power of joint decision. And that's our joint decision to join with Spirit, to join with the Holy Spirit. Our will and God's will being one and the same. There is no question but one you should ever ask of yourself. Do I want to know my Father's will for me? He will not hide it. He has revealed it to me because I asked it of him and learned of what he had already given. Our function is to function together because apart from each other, we cannot function at all. The whole power of God's Son lies in all of us, but not in any of us alone. God would not have us be alone because he does not will to be alone. That is why he created his Son and gave him the power to create with him. So I'll pause there, and if anybody even just wants to share anything that stands out to you, I can kick us off by saying that the sentence that stands out for me a lot is the sentence that reads, "Our function is to function together because apart from each other we cannot function at all." I think that's it's just a really nice reminder to me that our awakening is for one another. This our purpose is to join. We find truth. We remember who we are by finding it in our brother. So that to me is a really helpful sentence. Any other thoughts?
I was just going to say, I that's the one that kind of stood out to me the most, too, because I think a lot of times the Course can be very much, it's an individual path it talks about, but at the same time, it also mentions that we need to do it together. And like I think I said last week too, it just, there was so much I got out of everyone sharing. And the more people that I hear share different parts of the course and how they use it in their life, it really comes more alive for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's awesome. I'm so glad that you shared that, because we really do, that learning does happen between each other. Sometimes somebody else puts it just, you know, slightly different way that, you know, helps it to click in our minds, and we really do learn from one another.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anybody else? It also reminds me, too, where it goes on, it's the sentence after that, the whole power of God's Son lies in all of us, but not in any of us alone. That, to me, is just a really nice reminder also, because I think the ego can think of us as special for doing the course, and or for anything, for that matter. You know, we can feel special in all sorts of ways, and this course, obviously, is clearly saying throughout that, guess what, that's not the case. We're all equally special, which means none of us are. Let's take the next paragraph. Our creations are as holy as we are, and we are the sons of God Himself, and therefore as holy as He is. Through our creations, we extend our love and thus increase the joy of the Holy Trinity. You do not understand this for a very simple reason. You who are God's own treasure, do not regard yourselves as valuable. Given this belief, you cannot understand anything. I share with God the knowledge of the value He puts upon you. My devotion to you is of Him, being born of my knowledge of myself and Him. We cannot be separated. Whom God has joined cannot be separated, and God has joined all His sons with Himself. Can you be separated from your life and your being? To me, the sentence that really jumps out to me is, you who are God's own treasure, do not regard yourselves as valuable. Given this belief, you cannot understand anything. The piece that comes to mind for me is another course quote that says something to the effect of that nothing that you do or say or think or make establishes your worth. Your worth is established by God. And I don't think I got the quote exactly right, but it says something to that effect. So when we read this sentence, you who are God's own treasure, do not regard yourselves as valuable, that to me reminds me of that sentence, because, you know, we might have self-doubt, self-esteem issues. We're not truly seeing ourselves as God sees us. And therefore, it says, we really can't understand anything because we're not seeing ourselves as God does.
So is that one of the reasons why we really don't know what anything means?
Absolutely. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Corinne.
We don't know what anything means because, you know, we're usually, at least until we get on the path of the course and learning how to see with spirit, we're usually seeing with the ego. So we don't know what anything truly means.
I love that one paragraph in here where it says, you know, I don't know what anything means, including this, whatever the situation happens to be at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I will not use my own past learning as a light to guide me now. And that's so cool because, you know, when you're in situations that just seem so perplexing, you know, and what to do, It always goes back, you know, you really don't need to do anything because you don't know what this means.
Right. And there's that place of there's that place of power then. And I think we touched on this last week of being in that space of I don't know. When we're not laying our judgments on something, our meaning on something, that's when, you know, the possibilities really open up because we're not limiting anything. We're just simply staying in that space of I don't know. And there's a real power that comes with that, being in that place.
You know, this on Thanksgiving, we went to my niece's for, you know, dinner. And her middle child, she's a teenager and was not behaving in any, I mean, she was just so different. She's always the life of the party. She's so much fun. But she was very sullen and withdrawn. She was actually doing a jigsaw puzzle. And when I left there, I felt very concerned. I felt I couldn't even sleep. And I can, you know, that usually. And in the morning when I got up, you know, I just immediately opened the book. And that's exactly what I turned to. That I don't know what anything means, including this. And it was a great relief to me because I don't know. I really don't know. They might have had a fight before we came into the house. Oh, who knows? Mm-hmm. I have no idea what went on there. So, you know, it was easy to just kind of let that go. And I'm sure the next time I see her, she'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, you just, in that example, just shared something that is a really profound teaching. And this is something that I've recently come to work with as well, because when we don't think of worrying as another, of another, let me say this again, we don't think about worrying about another person as being an attack. You know how the Course talks a lot about, like, you always, you know, you attack yourself first, attack, attack, attack. It's saying that we're attacking all the time. And you might think like, huh, you know, no, I'm not. I'm not.
Yes, you
anybody.
Are, because so, I felt horrible. I was attacking myself.
Yeah. Well, you felt horrible too, but another way of looking at this also is that when we lay that meaning, so let's use this example that you just shared, that let's say that, you know, you're worrying about her.
Right.
Obviously, that's putting a burden on you, but what is that doing on a deeper level, but affirming that she is limited to her body, that she can suffer, that she can be in pain, versus what you did, which was not lay that meaning on it and, you know, instead perhaps give whatever was coming up in you over what you saw to spirit to use instead. What we're not doing then is laying more judgments on that other person and therefore keeping them bound to whatever role it is that we've assigned to them to play. And I'm hoping that is coming across, because it came through to me quite clearly, because I think I've shared with everybody before that my mother, who sometimes, you know, is on the call with us, she gets pretty bad migraine headaches. And it dawned on me one day that if I worry about her, I'm attacking her, because I am saying that she's, you know, limited to her body, that she absolutely can suffer, that these things can knock her off of her feet, these headaches. And in keeping her bound to her body, I'm binding myself to mine as well. I'm not allowing spirit's vision to come through me, and I'm not, you know, allowing myself to see with spirit's vision instead. So obviously we have to be where we're at, if that feels like, you know, I had to come to that on my own. I could not have just sort of jumped right into that place of being able to let go of worry about her. I had to sort of grow to that, but I'm hoping that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And it really comes down to, when I am healed, I am not healed alone. You know, you're absolutely doing that person a favor.
Yes.
By turning it over to the Holy Spirit and trusting, you know,
and trusting
again,
that
in the truth, all is well.
In the truth, and that the Holy Spirit is in them also. So that was another big thing that came up for me too, is that, you know, remembering that the Holy Spirit is in that other person. That person does not lack guidance. They have that guidance very accessible to them if they choose to listen to it. And in my choice to rest in trusting that the Holy Spirit is in this other person, I'm reinforcing that part of their mind, and trusting that they're going to, you know, maybe not, maybe they're not going to eventually hear it in the way I think they should or the way, you know, that I would expect, but simply by that act of trust that, you know, they have this part of their mind and that they can listen to it, I'm reinforcing that choice within them and helping them rather than hurting them.
I just got this. Go ahead.
I just highlighted a paragraph today in chapter 7 on 143 in the Sparkly that talked exactly about what you guys just said.
Oh, cool.
So funny. Yeah. Amazing.
That's awesome. Page 143?
Yeah.
In the Sparkly.
143. It's like
awesome.
The third one down.
Third one down. Cool. That is great. It's funny how just how everything parallels, right?
It's true.
Paula, were you going to add something?
I just got a feeling this morning of how, you know, really, and the Course is constantly saying, there are no accidents and chance plays no part. So everything that's going on, whether we like it or not, really, really is, all right, I had a 20-pound turkey that I was going to put in the oven at 5:30 this morning because I wanted the girls to come over and have Thanksgiving here because we all like leftovers. Well, I've got the bird stuffed. I'm ready to put it in the oven. The oven's completely dead.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? So I get the manual out. I'm reading it. It says, check and see if it's plugged in. I can't even find the plug. So I thought about my older daughter, and I know she's up. God, she gets up so early in the morning. So I called her, and I said, if you want to have turkey dinner today, maybe could you come over and help me with this? So she said, Ma, I'm dressed. I'll be right over. In the meantime, I notice the wall socket. There's like a light on it.
Uh-huh.
And if that light's on, things are working. Well, the light was off. So all I had to do was reset it. And with that, the oven came on.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm thinking, oh, geez, here she's coming out of her way to come over here. Well, as it turns out, she needed to talk.
Mm.
I make coffee. You know, when she came in, I said, well, the thing is fixed, but how about a cup of coffee and we'll just sit and have a bagel or something? She needed to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the best conversation.
Oh, awesome.
And I think but it was so, because I was so frustrated and annoyed with what was going on. And then I realized this was supposed to happen.
No accident.
She really needed this. And she kept saying to me, you know, I really don't need any advice or any judgments or anything. I just need to get this out. And I thought, my God, isn't that something?
That's pretty cool.
I mean, really, that seemed like a little miracle to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little Thanksgiving miracle.
A little Thanksgiving miracle. And by the way, the bird turned out wonderful. The whole thing was delicious.
You know, I'll just jump back for a quick second. I found the paragraph that, Paul, I think that you underlined before when we were talking about, you know, seeing our brother as healed, you know, as not sick, even if they see themselves that way. And I'm guessing this might be what you underlined. It says, this was, as Paul said, in the Sparkle Edition, page 143, I think the third paragraph down, when a brother perceives himself as sick, he is perceiving himself as not whole and therefore in need. If you too see him this way, you are seeing him as if he were absent from the kingdom or separated from it, thus making the kingdom itself obscure to both of you. And I won't read any more, but I think that's my guess as to what you...
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, cool.
That is so perfect.
It is. Thank you for sharing that. Great. Okay,
I wanted to share... Oh, sorry.
Yes, please. No, jump in.
I wanted to share something you guys are talking about. I had this situation happen today, and I know it's happened in the past, but my friend has a friend, so it's not even technically my friend, but it's more like an acquaintance to me.
Mm-hmm.
But this girl, mid-20s probably, she's been in like this codependent, not the healthiest relationship, and she's tried to go away to rehab, and he's tried to work, the gentleman in the relationship has tried to get therapy, and it turns out today, yesterday night, he like stabbed her, and
oh goodness,
with like a hammer or something else, and somehow she, I guess she wasn't done with Earth, because she made it through, and she ended up in she's in the emergency room, and it was on the news and stuff. So when I called
wow.
my friend today randomly to ask her if she wanted to go with me to Target, I was like, something was like, don't call. It's funny because something was like, don't call her. Because I was like in a really, yay, it's Sunday, you know, the sun's shining. And something was like, maybe you don't need to call her. But I was like, well, if she doesn't want to go, that's okay. I'll just go myself. Well, I call her. And she's like, then she told me what happened. So I was like, oh, I was like, okay, yeah, you need to go to the hospital, because she was going to go see her friend. And the situation made me very funky. Like, I just got, and she said very brief things to me, you know, like, apparently now he's in jail because he's getting charged, obviously, and she's in the hospital, and she seems gonna, like she's going to be okay, but she's obviously in the emergency room kind of dealing with whatever's going on. And I guess, you know, when these situations come up, I immediately go into this place of, like, okay, how do I process this as, isn't it, sometimes this is a course student, but just, like, how do I process this as someone who feels like she can understand things better?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes that makes it worse,
mm-hmm.
because I try to, like, I quickly get onto this high horse, if I'm really being honest, of, like, oh, I understand everything so perfectly because I see how she's not only the victim, but he's also, they're both kind of needing love. You know, she has her own stuff, but he has his own stuff. And then I quickly got really funky, and I was like, what is going on? And I also want to, like, help my friend. You know, I'm like, okay, she's worried about her friend now. So, like, what you guys are saying obviously is all resonating, because I'm like, well, hopefully she knows she doesn't have to worry about her friend because she'll be okay, she'll be healed. But I realize now that I'm hearing you guys talk that, in essence, what I'm not able to do is see my own friend as healed from whatever is going to worry her. So, in essence, I'm still going into worrying. And more importantly, I go into this place of, like, my ego wants to control the situation. So, in other words, I feel like I wish it was me, because if it was me, then I would know how to be better about it than my friend, if that makes any sense. So I recognize that it's my ego, but it still kind of throws me into this, like, it's almost like I want to take it away from my friend, the experience, because I feel like if it's me, then I can deal with it better because I know better and I'm so wise or whatever. And my friend, poor thing, she's worried. But in essence, I'm like, well, clearly I'm in the same place because I'm also worried about her now. Like,
right,
I'm worried,
right,
that she's worried, which is kind
exactly
of funny.
You got it.
But
you
I'm
got
worried
it
that she's,
yeah,
worried. I'm like, if it was me, then nobody would be worried because I know how not to be worried. But I'm like, obviously you don't know how not to be worried. So I had this beautiful moment where I was telling my husband about it because I came home and I had, like, I kind of had multiple miracles throughout the day. I come home and I tell, you know, I come and he's like, I'm calling for him. And he's like, oh, hey, guess who was on the news? And he was like, that lady. And I was like, and I immediately knew why. Don't ask, because you really need to be able to, like, I knew I couldn't handle it, but I asked anyways because my ego spoke really fast. And was like, well, what did they say? And as soon as he told me, I was back in that place of, like, oh, I can't control it, I can't help any, you know, that kind of thing. And then I was like, maybe I can explain it to you. So I tried to talk to him about it. And usually those talks sometimes go well, sometimes they don't go so well. But in this time I said to him, at one point I said something like, you know, what pisses me off the most really is that I can't control it. Like, that's what I really want to be able to do. Like, I wish I could just control it. I wish I could just, you know, tell her she doesn't need to be worried because I don't know how to do that for her. And as soon as I said that, he said, yeah, but that's not praying. And for some reason we were talking about prayers. He's like, that's not praying. I was like, oh, I was like, you're right. Prayer is the opposite of control, isn't it? He's like, yeah. He's like, prayer is like you completely let it go and you trust that it's already been healed and taken care of. And he didn't say healed. That's my language. He said taken care of. And I said, oh, yeah, I did. And as soon as he said that, it was like it all went away. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm good now. I don't need to think about this anymore. I'm like, I'm done. I was like, you're right. I just need to give it over and everybody's healed and it's all good. But now that I heard you guys talking about it, I understood it. Like, what you said about your mom really resonated. I'm like, oh, I understand it a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that I'm forgetting that my friend has her own guidance and she's, if she chooses, she has what she needs to, whatever needs to be given to her to get through this. And it doesn't have to be the way that I think it has to be understood. So I'm thinking it has to be understood a particular way from my spiritual high horse that I was sitting on. And what was actually happening, it was actually throwing me into complete, like, ego worry mode,
uh-huh,
you know, trying
uh-huh
to be like the Course in Miracles student,
uh-huh,
which happens to me, where I'm like, oh, I'm the Course in Miracles student, I understand. And then I'm like, no, you don't. So it was just, now that you said that, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I'm like, so it's the healing that you guys are talking about, that I'm like, yes, if I perceived her as truly one with me or equal, or like there is no specialness, as I'm better, whatever, then I wouldn't feel the need to compensate, you know what I mean, for whatever. And I know in that part the Course says that sometimes you're the miracle, like when you're the miracle worker, you can, the word is not compensate, but I know it says you can, I can't remember what the word is, but it's kind of like you heal, you heal them as because you understand things differently, or I can't remember how it goes, but I know that if from this place, I wouldn't be able to help her because, like, all my ego wanted to do was lecture her about how she's supposed to not worry. And I'm like, and I knew, I'm like, okay, if she's obviously in pain and hurt from her friend, me lecturing about how she's not supposed to be worried is probably going to make it worse for her. Like, she's going to get mad at me, mm-hmm, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not very compassionate, me thinking that I'm better than her and I need to lecture her about it. So I was like, for now, I'm glad that I didn't talk to her. And I was like, okay, good. I was like, until I shift, I need to just stay away because I'm going to say things that are hurtful because my ego wants to, like, make it better from a place
yeah,
of I think
yeah.
I'm better than you, not from a place of, like, okay, we're all in this together. Like, we're all love. We're all healed. You know, let's talk about
mm-hmm,
it from that place.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What
I hope
a powerful,
that makes sense.
Powerful
I don't know. That was
example.
A lot of information, but.
No, it may, oh, my gosh. It makes,
it all
it makes
to
total
connect.
Sense. You know, and the other thing that comes up in my mind as you were sharing, Paula, in our former in-person study group, one of our former members, his name was John, he used to say, if you spot it, you got it. And that's
mm-hmm.
what came up for me because what is also coming up for me is the again, the Hawaiian healer who taught the Ho'oponopono practice, where he would say that if you see something, whether it's on the news or if you like are hearing about your friend going through something or, you know, your friend's friend going through something, that's now something in your mind that needs to be, in the Ho'oponopono language, cleaned. In
mm-hmm.
Course Miracles language, forgiven. It's that, even just by learning about something, and we all now have this task because we're all, you know, listening to the story and it's eliciting different things within each of us. It's now our task to take those feelings and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. I'm willing to look at what's coming up with me. Or we might use that Ho'oponopono prayer as we turn to the divine and say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Once, you know, we're hearing about something or seeing something, we're then involved in it too. And as we look through the ego's mm-hmm. eyes and see how ugly and painful and scary the picture can look, we can stay there. Or again, we can bring all that, what we see, what we feel, to spirit and ask to see it differently and ask, you know, to see the miracle instead. And then that's where those healings can take place within us as well as for other people as well. So that was a really, really, really powerful teaching learning situation.
Yeah. I
you
think
know,
it also makes me think of, oh, sorry. It also makes
well,
me think
what,
of how no, oops.
Go ahead.
Clary first and then Paula.
Okay. It all, always, it also made me think of like how the course is, it talks about like no disturbance is too big or none of it is too small. So, like, whether it's her worrying about, you know, her perceiving her friend being in danger, whatever, or then me worrying about her, it's, like, it's really equal because, like, if she's not at peace with whatever or I'm not at peace with whatever, it didn't really make a difference. So I guess it kind of made me – that always comes back to me because sometimes I realize that the things that – I get past something because it trips up other people, but that particular thing doesn't trip me up, but then I get tripped up about them being tripped up. So then in that sense, I'm still tripped up.
Uh-huh.
So that always happens where I'm like, oh, yeah, but now you feel – you know, like, I feel that disturbance and I can feel that energy come up. I'm like, okay, like, I'm not in my stomach. I'm getting kind of like – my voice is getting a little bit louder when I'm talking just about random stuff, and I can tell, like, okay, you're not at peace. You know, something has happened in this moment. Like, you don't feel complete. So it's interesting because I always notice that like, even though maybe the actual situation that you might perceive, like, how come that's not bugging you, it doesn't really matter because something, in essence, still bugged me. So even though it wasn't whatever you think might bug me, whatever bugs you, it still causes the same kind of,
right,
you know, it's still
hooked.
That same kind of disturbance that needs to
mm-hmm.
be healed.
Definitely, definitely. Paula, what were you going to add? Did we lose Paula? I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry, Paula. Were you going to add something?
Well, you know, just to simplify it, I mean, because it's basically all the same thing for any of us when our peace is threatened. Your peace was threatened. And I think we just go crazy sometimes when that happens. I know I do. And that's where, you know, he's saying when your peace is threatened or disturbed in any way, say to yourself, I do not know what anything means, including this. And so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as light to guide me now. I mean, that absolutely simplifies it. I think we're so used to, though, wanting to fix things for
mm-hmm.
people and for
of
ourselves.
Course.
You know, we get so caught up in that. And I don't, I get, again, Corinne, is it just to keep this whole personality self going?
Absolutely.
I think that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the bottom line. We just don't want to believe.
We don't want to let go of.
That we're not a body,
mm-hmm.
and that all is well, and
mm-hmm.
that everything is divine.
Right. And it's where, it's these experiences, it's these times where, you know, we see scary things or we, you know, hear about them or experience them or whatever it may be. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where,
yeah,
you know, everything that we're reading and practicing and the lessons that we're doing, it's not just to feel good in those times when nothing's happening. It's
yeah.
about applying it when it feels like you, you know, just want to run the other way. And if you need to run the other way, that's fine too. But it's really about, you know, getting more and more vigilant to do this inner work, to be turning to spirit when the shit is hitting the fan.
Exactly. And it really saves time.
Oh yes, it does.
And
Deidre.
Energy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Definitely, definitely. Deidre.
Deidre.
Well, I was just going to say, I can so relate to what Clary and Paula are saying. I had a little situation today with where I was getting caught up in what I was possibly perceiving as what somebody might be feeling about something. And I just had this moment with Spirit where Spirit was like, decide to be happy now. That was what I heard in my head. And it was like, decide to be happy now. And then I heard, do not make your happiness dependent on someone else. And I was just like, wow, that's it in a nutshell. Like, anytime we're trying to fix or control or, you know, any of that stuff that you were talking about, it's because we're making our emotional response dependent on someone else. And that has been such an ego trip for me. But I can see that I'm progressing. It's like in these passages that we're reading, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, take the oxygen mask and apply it to yourself. And don't worry about anybody else. You know, so
that's perfect. I love that. I love that analogy. You know, Deidre, as you were sharing, another quote came to mind, and I just shared this image like an hour ago on Facebook. It's by C.S. Lewis, and it's, don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose.
Mm, yeah.
And how powerful is that? Because what can we, if you look around with your body's eyes, we can lose everything. There's not one thing that you can, you know, name that, you know, can't be lost. And so if we're looking to our happy, or, you know, for our happiness to depend on anything that's outside of us, you know, it could be something that we could lose. So that was a really powerful quote for me. Thank you, Deidre. That was really, really valuable.
Thank you.
Wow.
My name is Julia.
Hey, Julia.
Hello, my name's Julia.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, Dee, I love what you shared. That's please record yourself or start recording your little clippages that you that you come up with. About the I'm a friend of Dee's, and that's why I'm on this call tonight.
Oh, great.
She told me about the course.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
What I would like to add to that is the fact of, again, the outside world. I've just gone through actually just losing my identity through the illusion of who I thought I was, who I created, and I've had to sit for the year realizing that I have no identity.
Wow.
And so it's very interesting to come to a place. I have studied the Course in Miracles for about 25 years, a lot of it with Dwayne O'Kane in Vancouver, BC, and a variety of other people and groups. And so I've been led back to it also through David Hawkins' work. And so it's been interesting to go through this process and see when you start something, you actually don't know the ripple effect of how it'll actually turn up and show up in your life. And going back into the teachings in the course, and actually I've been reading The Disappearing of the Universe, and I just love that teaching. It's amazing. Excuse me, I have somebody calling me. So again, it's a very interesting place to come through the fear and come into love. and then sit in that place and just allow to be in that place that all is.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share that. I'll mute myself now.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Julia. That was really, really powerful. Just with what you described about like losing your identity, you know, that you had built, and then just being in that place of not having an identity and just, you know, sitting, resting in that. That's really powerful and really cool. I feel like we're so attached, you know, to our identities in so many different ways. So that's got to be such a place of power to be able to just dwell in. Thank you for sharing that. And I agree. That's why we record the calls, because we get all the snippets that everybody shares, so we can listen to them again and again. Oh, wow.
That is really interesting what she just said.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, I want to retire from working. And that's, I think she's kind of made me aware just now of, it's really an identity crisis,
mm-hmm.
when you are so hooked into what you've been doing for such a long period of time. You really get wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of leaving that, I think that's where the fear really sits, you know. Well,
right, right.
What am I if I'm not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool to just be aware of that and just sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it happen.
Well, it's interesting. Remember a couple weeks ago I mentioned the website One Who Wakes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
.org. Well, there's a man on there, and in his talk he was speaking about this, and he said something really profound, in that our identity is not, you know, the books we read or the job that we have or the title or any of that. Our one purpose is to awaken to the presence of love and help others do the same. So whatever that is, that's what our purpose is. It's not, you know, the title that the world gives us.
I love what you just said, and the awareness of that. You know, because when I go to work, I get very hooked in. I mean, I'm there. I'm doing it. I lose sight of all of this. Until I get out of there and open this book when I get home, you know, it feels so real,
mm-hmm.
when I'm there. I really don't think that there's anything to be afraid of. I think I will be fine when I finally get away from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
My father always used to say, it casts a spell. He said, break the spell.
It's Julie again. I'd just like to know what you think you're getting away from, just with the language that you used. I just was kind of curious.
Oh, that's a good question. I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Good idea. Yeah, good thing to think about and ponder. Let's read another paragraph. I love it when we're like 40 minutes into the call and we've only read two paragraphs. But we're going to finish this section because there's only four paragraphs in this section. So this is actually perfect. The journey to God, I think that's where I am. Yes. The journey to God is merely the reawakening of the knowledge of where you are always and what you are forever. It is a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed. Truth can only be experienced. It cannot be described, and it cannot be explained. I can make you aware of the conditions of truth, but the experience is of God. Together, we can meet its conditions, but truth will dawn upon you of itself. I love that paragraph. It speaks to that truth. It really, all of this that we're learning is really an experience. We learn through our experience, and we can't describe truth. It can't be explained. It is an actual experience. And I also really like, too, how it says, I can make you aware of the conditions of truth, but the experience is of God. So we're not able to force that experience to happen. We can only meet the conditions of truth, which, again, we are doing every time as we turn to Spirit to ask, you know, for that miracle. We're not hanging on to our ways of seeing things, our beliefs. We're instead open to allowing a greater experience to come through us. Pretty cool. Any other thoughts or insights that anybody is gleaning from this paragraph or any of the things that we've read so far, or maybe even something unrelated?
I like the line that says, it is a journey without distance to a goal that has never changed.
Mm-hmm.
And like sounds cliche, but it's more like it resonates, you know, it's like, and it's funny because as I hear it, like I feel something, but I can't really explain what I feel, but it just sounds like it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot. I've noticed that I'm like, it's like an experience where it's a feeling. So when I try to like give it words, I get like tongue twisted and I'm like, I can't really call it anything. So it's either like you live in that place of you're experiencing things or you're not going to get what I'm talking about. It's like,
right.
That's kind of what it is where I'm like, okay, unless you kind of had this feeling, I don't really know how to explain it to you. So
right.
I guess that's kind of how I felt where I read that, where I'm just like, oh, I was like, that just feels so good to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even really know why. Like, I feel like I don't want to because it's like then my brain wants to take over and it wants to think about it. And I'm like,
right,
no,
right.
I'm okay with it, just feeling it and being like, you know, that just feels really good. That, especially the one that says the goal that has never changed. That part really feels like amazing.
It does,
I'm like, yeah, I guess
not.
Yeah, I guess no matter what happens, you know, going home, that's how I hear it. I hear it as like a going home, you know, and I have images of love, whatever is loving to me and how I feel when I feel God as an experience. And I feel like, yeah, that's always been the desire. That's always been the intention. I don't think that ever changes. So
yeah,
it just feels really good.
And I think you're hitting on something really key, too, that when we have those intense, you know, experiences of truth or of God or, you know, those little miracles, when we find ourselves struggling for words, we you know, in my experience at least, that's when, you know, I know that it was something that was greater than me. It was something that came through me, call it, you know, again, an experience of
mm-hmm.
truth or God or whatever. But it's that struggling to find the words to try to describe, to possibly describe what it is that you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, too, where I just love, I think I keep mentioning the books that I'm re-listening to. I think I said this last week, but I'm re-listening to Dr. Eben Alexander's book, Proof of Heaven, and just how, you know, he's doing the best that he can to put into words this near-death experience, this incredible near-death experience that he had, and yet he just says he still, you know, what he's describing is just like a smidgen of what it was actually like, that the words, he described how, you know, our brain is like a limiting device, like it's about, you know, taking this,
mm-hmm.
this massive experience and just like bringing it down and trying to like smush it through this little hole and then spit it out in words that, you know, are just so limiting. And so that was just coming up for me too as we were talking about this. How about we read the next paragraph? What God has willed for you is yours. He has given his will to his treasure, whose treasure it is. Your heart lies where your treasure is, as his does. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. Your heart lies where your treasure is, as does, as his does. You who are beloved of God are wholly blessed. Learn this of me and free the holy will of all those who are as blessed as you are. So again, I think the quote that's coming to mind, I think Deidre shared before, it may have been from that, I think it was from that man, I'm forgetting the website now, something about awakening, one who wakes, I think it was, where
yeah.
The purpose is to, you know, wake up to the love that we are and to wake up others as well, but that's our one purpose. That's what that last sentence speaks to me about. Wow. Other thoughts, anything in particular coming up for anybody? Anything maybe you thought to share before, but you kept quiet?
I keep looking at this, the last line about learn this of me and free the holy will of all those who are blessed as you are. And then I keep thinking about what we talked about as far as healing is concerned. And not only do we relieve ourselves of that stress about worrying about somebody who may not be well, but we're also helping them in remembering who they are and who we are. And I kind of like that. And this last line kind of brought that back for me, what we had been talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. And actually, you're calling to mind another example that came up for me within the past week. And it's kind of funny. And I wrote about it on my blog just this past week because I was driving through there's been an outbreak of meningitis at one of the universities in New Jersey, and there's a road that cuts through this particular university, and I was driving down it, and in the car, like all this one particular morning, I just was on, I don't want to say I was on cloud nine, but I was just doing so much letting go and feeling just such joy and such peace and just really resting in feeling very innocent, just feeling, you know, the truth and just feeling really happy. And it was so funny because there I was, you know, high up in the clouds, and I am driving through this university, and then the thought comes into my head, like, oh, there's this outbreak of meningitis right now, and there's students walking up and down the sidewalks, crossing the street. It must have been in between classes, so there's people everywhere. And it was 40 degrees out, so my windows are closed. I'm nice and toasty inside, and yet I found my hand coming down next to the window to make sure the buttons were up all the way. The window was closed. And you can't just catch meningitis. You have to kiss somebody or share a drink. Like, you know, it's got to be some kind of contact. And in that one little moment, you know, that one little tiny little ego voice that just came up, everything that I had felt, that awareness, that bliss was just gone. Gone in a second. And so it was just so funny because it was just like, again, the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast, right? You know, we get that contrast, and that's how we learn. And so there was, you know, the actual experience first of that joy, and then the actual experience of that, of me just being completely blind to it in an instant when I listened to the ego's voice. And so I caught it. I said, oh my gosh, like, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you, and hand it over. And, you know, the peace did come back, but it just, Paul, as you were just sharing your thoughts, it came to mind for me because, you know, even in a, you know, a broad situation like that where I can either hook into the fear and join with everybody else who's fearful and keep it all, you know, as it is, or, you know, again, we have that choice to choose again and to be willing to see it differently, thus loosening, you know, the hold of that belief that everyone has. So I just thought I'd share
that. Amen to that. That's a great example. Happens to all of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was just like, wow, my ego really, really is insane.
You know, just being the observer of that is so powerful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you were present enough to observe that and really get right back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, oh, my ego sucks, you know, and staying in there, that's awesome.
And that's where, too, one of the purposes of this particular blog post is to share that story, but also there's a song by a group called They Might Be Giants, and it's actually, they put out, I think they have one or two albums for kids, and this particular album is called, I think it's called No. And the song is just hilarious. And so I put a link to the video of somebody's, you know, little animation to this song. But it goes no plus no equals no, all roads lead to no, no, no. And so it's just a great song I found to sing to my ego when I'm choosing to say no to it. Because again, as the Course says, it's not that we're going to stop having these ego thoughts. It's not that we're going to stop having judgmental thoughts or negative thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. So when we notice that they come up, we can say no. We choose not to listen. Mm. And so I love that song. If anybody's interested, just go on YouTube. The link that I posted was actually on something on, is it Vimeo? Is that how you say it? It's the song is No by They Might Be Giants. So it's pretty fun.
I don't need to read that.
Oh, my goodness. Any other thoughts or comments? But we're almost to the top of the hour.
I just wanted to share how something I know I'm, I guess, learning, or I guess, in better words, unlearning, is how we're guided. I never really understood sometimes how we're guided to certain desires, and you think that you're guided for a particular reason, and then, like, the more you surrender that journey, the more you realize, oh, there's something else that you needed to unlearn, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at with stuff, where I'm like, I really felt like the strong calling to make some dietary changes and to focus on certain things. And on the, it's interesting because on the surface, it was like, well, I just want to work on my health. So I actually chose to stop eating meat, even though, like, I've eaten meat before. Mm-hmm. And made other changes, and I thought, oh, it's about being healthy and blah, 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 and all this stuff. But then so much ego stuff comes up around it that I realized, like, the more I'm into it, the more I realize, oh, I think part of it sure is my health, but I think a lot of it, the Holy Spirit is, and I think this is the key, that it's not about the vegetarian or being vegan or not being or whatever. It really is about, for me, and what I'm learning is that it's about when I surrender that part of the whatever the journey is, whatever the lesson is, or however the form comes up, the Holy Spirit uses it to teach me something or actually give it real meaning, which it didn't have when it wasn't surrendered. So, like, for instance, an example is, like, the changes I'm making in my eating or whatever, a lot of ego comes up because I feel sometimes like, you know, I'm special, I'm better. And when that stuff comes up, I realize, oh, I actually have to unlearn this, or I get things about, I get attached to my body, like, oh, my body looks a particular way now, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I have to unlearn this now because I thought I was past this. But apparently, on a deeper level, I guess I feel like I was guided to make certain choices so that in those experiences, I would unlearn, I guess, the crazy thoughts of the world. You know what I mean? Like, even crazy thoughts like, you know, if you eat meat, you're less than, or if you eat meat, you're better than, or I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of crazy thoughts around all these different topics. So I feel like it's just a consistent experience of, like, I guess that's another crazy thought that I needed to unlearn, and another crazy thought that I didn't know I still had on some particular level. Mm-hmm. So the more that I'm able to, and this is what all of us are really doing when we study this, you know, we're trying to, it's practical, and we don't realize how practical it is until these moments come up, and you're like, oh, okay, this what the Course teaches is very practical. I have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, show me what this is for, because if I give it the meaning of the world, if I give it the meaning the world is choosing to, you know, usually gives it, it kind of doesn't seem to serve a purpose in my, like, that's how I look at it now, I guess. When I think of, like, getting, you know, improving my health, whatever, I guess for me particularly, I just feel like, oh, I needed to go through this particular journey so the Holy Spirit could be like, okay, you have to unlearn that. That can be used if you don't really release it. It can be used as for the ego's purposes. And right, it makes me always think about this quote in the Course that says, even your good intentions need to be released, because I see how much part of our craziness, like a lot of our craziness comes up through our good intentions. Mm-hmm, you know, so like we might quote unquote protest something that we think is horrible in the world. Like if I was to go protest everybody that eats meat, but really like your good intention gets completely like gone awry because it was not surrendered. So I guess I just see that more and more in my own life, that I'm like, okay, good intention needs to be surrendered. Good intention, mm-hmm. Okay, that needs to be surrendered. Good lifestyle change, but it needs to be surrendered. You know, good idea, but I better surrender it because it might turn into something else if I don't surrender it. So all these choices I'm making, I just feel like I realize, oh, I think these are all coming up because needs to be surrendered, or something that I think that I've learned. There's something that I've learned that I need to unlearn, and I need to go through the experience in order to, like, undo what has been done.
Clara, that was so powerful. That was really, really, really powerful. You're hitting the nail on the head just with surrendering good intentions, surrendering everything, and you're absolutely right. Anything can be used for either the ego's purposes, if we allow it to be, or for the Holy Spirit. So if you feel, you know, the need to eat a certain way, change, you know, your diet, go through what you got to go through, exactly like you just said, go through those experiences and be willing to look at that with the Holy Spirit as you go. Because, you know, when we don't shine the light of love on it, then we're doing it with the ego, and that's always going to get us into some kind of difficulty. So that's awesome. Wow. Powerful note to end on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, so much for sharing, for listening, and just for being here. So we will pick up again where we left off next week, and have a good one.
Have a
thank
great
you.
Week.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.